Blog Talk Radio.
Topics, some Long Island MMA to discuss, as well as a guest on the show from American Top Team Whitestone, Cody Payne. He'll be joining us as well today. UFC 194 will be discussing Conor McGregor taking home the belt, as well as Luke Rockhold at 185. Plenty to talk about, and we'll be right back. First episode ever, and we're talking about Long Island MMA. But first, we're going to talk about a little UFC 194 as we wait for Cody to get connected. Damn Blog Talk's a little pain in the ass, but who the hell cares? We're going to get right into it. This weekend on Saturday night, Conor McGregor had a big fight as he took on the undisputed champion Jose Aldo as he fought interim champion Conor McGregor if Conor beat Chad Mendez. So, which was an exciting fight in both situations as Conor knocked out Mendez, who took the fight on 2-week notice, as we all know, and now the anticipated fight from Saturday night. I don't know if it was a letdown for some people or if it was more of a shocking for some people, being that it was 13 seconds. KO in the favor of Conor McGregor, the Irishman. It's just insane to see what he did. The fact that he was able to hit him with a left cross, as he predicted that he would overreach, and he caught him. So it's kind of crazy to believe. But ladies and gentlemen, if you want to call in, our number is 213-943-3434. Please call in. plenty to discuss. And I believe we got Cody here. Cody, are you on?
Hey, yeah, I'm on. I just called.
All right, awesome. Well, you're live, Cody. Sorry about that. Blog Talk's kind of a little
What's
bit of a
up?
PM.
How you doing?
I'm doing well. Yourself?
I'm all right. I just finished a workout with one of my coaches just now. So I'm kind of excited and hyped.
Awesome. What were you guys, sparring or, like, wrestling? What were you guys
no,
doing?
No, we're doing some pad work, you know, sharpening up the weapons and everything.
Awesome. All right. Well, in my article I just released actually a few minutes ago, I wrote it earlier, I talked about how you were in your last fight, you took an opponent who you weren't supposed to fight. It ended up being a catchweight because your original opponent bailed on you. Can you kind of, I guess, talk about that? Tell us a little bit about how what the frustration is for you, because I know you're always looking for fights. You have trouble finding them. Kind of throw us in there and tell us a little bit about that.
As far as, like, looking for fights and everything, it's just been, for me, I usually like to fight five times a year. You know, I like to end the year off fighting five times. But this year, two times. I had about three to five guys pull out or either didn't make weight. You know, it comes a point in time where if you go to fight a guy and he's 10 pounds heavier than you, they obviously didn't uphold their end of the bargain, so it's not smart from a strategic standpoint to fight guys that come in 10 pounds heavier than you and you're doing all the right things. So at Platinum Gloves, I was supposed to fight this guy. I won't even mention his name, but I was supposed to fight this guy. It was going to be an easy fight regardless. I was going to knock him out. But he didn't make weight. He was 7 to 8 pounds over. He came. He was like 2 hours late for weigh-ins. He came in 7 to 8 pounds over. And we were going to make him lose a little bit of weight. Because, like I said, it was going to be an easy fight regardless. We were going to knock him out. But he opted not to show up the next day. So the promoters at Platinum Gloves, I commend him and I respect the promoter. He, you know, he worked his magic and he got me a fight against an all right guy. You know, it was his debut, but I believe he had a kickboxing fight. He also was a wrestler by trade. That's why he was a wrestler by trade. So it kind of worked out in the end because I got to show off. I got to like flex my sprawling abilities and a little bit of my grappling abilities. You know.
Yeah, that you did. You definitely did. Promoter for MMA Platinum Gloves here on Long Island, Nick. He's a great guy. He does the right thing all the time. And the fact that they switched to the new sanctioning body or to a new sanctioning body from the old one that they had is definitely a plus in their book because definitely elevated their promotion. Now they're using a USMTA. And
very good promotion.
Yep. And when you're in there fighting, when you're in there fighting for the MMA Platinum Gloves, it was about over a year that you fought, right, in the MMA?
Yes. Now, it was kind of, yeah. Continue?
No. So I was just curious, like, was it ring rust? Are you a little nervous? Because you didn't look like you were nervous at all.
Nervous. Just, I'm always, like, the heavy favorite going into these fights. I at least that's what I think. I think I'm always the heavy favorite. And I feel like I have to, my reputation is on the line all the time. So I could have won a decision. I could have went out there and won a decision. But to keep my reputation good and, you know, to meet the expectations that's expected of me, I feel like I got to finish guys. So I just try to be as calm as possible and look for that opening, that kill shot. MMA is totally different from Muay Thai. It's two different beasts and two different animals. They're both respectively difficult, but I believe in MMA, the defensive striking is just a lot of holes in these guys' game, and you can exploit that easily. And I'll tell you this right now, if a guy stands longer than 3 minutes with me, I'll most likely finish them in amateur MMA. They're not going to want to stand with me.
Well, yeah, like I said in the article, you were peppering them with shots to the face. You landed some nasty leg kicks to start off right away, and then you rocked him with a head kick right at the end of the first round, and you didn't waste any time entering the second round, finish him in 10 seconds into the second round. I know you were talking about getting back in the ring for January 16th at the New York Fight Exchange. Do you have any opponents lined up or anyone that you want to get in there with and rumble?
I'm not going to call anybody out.
Okay.
I really don't know these amateur guys like that. And I'm just looking for a fight. I'm just training hard and just working on myself and growing as a martial artist. But as far as these guys, they're gonna put whoever they want in front of me at the end of the day. I can ask for whoever, but they're gonna put who they want to put in front of me at the end of the day. So I just gotta be prepared for whoever I have to fight, you know, and be a complete mixed martial artist.
Definitely. All right. Oh, ladies and gentlemen, we're here with Cody Payne from American Top Team, Whitestone. Feel free to call in if you want to join the conversation at 213-943-3517 if you have a question for him, or interact with us on social media at My MMA News or at Carol's Corner MMA. Right, and we're going to switch gears. We'll talk about UFC 94. I know you said you watched it.
Yes.
What did you think of the main event? Conor McGregor slugging Jose Aldo with a left cross and finish him in one shot.
I think it was a beautiful kill shot by Conor McGregor. You know, he's a very accurate striker and a very precise and smart fighter. Usually Jose is a smarter fighter than that, but I think just the pressure of pulling out of the other card and being disrespected by the UFC and by Conor continuously, it kind of wore on him. So he was anxious, and he wanted to put his hands on McGregor. He wanted to put his hands on him too quickly, you know, and he didn't really set it up. He kind of leaped in with a left hook. He landed a left hook. He leaped in with the left hook, and he got clipped with the left hand. But Conor is a tremendous fighter.
Now, do you think
his accuracy is undeniable.
Do you think the mental game aspect got to him too much, or like, because that is a huge part of the sport, wrestling, MMA, any combat
100%.
Sport, mental's strategy is a huge part of it. And you really think it got to him, huh?
100%. I thought Aldo was mentally stronger, but he seemed really anxious and a little bit out of his element. It definitely was mental warfare on his part. Conor did the same thing to Dustin Poirier, who's a really good fighter from American Top Team Coconut Creek, but he was in his head, and Dustin just looked really anxious to get out there and fight. It's funny. All right, this is a fight game, and we're out there to hurt each other. No ifs, ands, or buts. I'm out there, and I'm trying to finish you and knock you out. But there's more than one front of battle. It's just not the physical aspect. It's the mental aspect as well. So you got to wage your war on both fronts. You just can't do it on the physical aspect. So if I can get under guys, and if I could get them to get out of their element, if I could get them riled up and get them to overextend and get them out of character, I can capitalize. 100%.
Okay. Awesome. Now, do you play any mind games? I know that you're fighting amateur still. Do you play any mind games when you do Muay Thai or MMA?
I just try to have fun.
Okay.
I just really try to have fun. The training is so hard. It's so stressful. You're always worried. You're always dieting. You got to have some fun somehow. You know what I mean? It's like when I was a kid. I used to play video games, a Street Fighter with my cousins and everything. We would talk crap to each other while we're playing, or we play NBA 2K, we would talk crap to each other. So I look at this like one big game. I talk crap, but at the end of the day, I'm going to back it up. It's all fun to me. It's a game.
Now, are you more impressed with the fact that Conor McGregor actually backed up his trash talking? So he pretty much predicted it, saying that Jose Aldo, you can tell you watch film. Jose Aldo said he's gonna say that Jose is gonna overextend himself, and he's gonna catch him with a precision shot. Now, do you think that's did he know what he was saying, or was he just BSing and it just happened to work out his way? Which do you think?
What do I think? I think that This guy, he's something special. At first, I was kind of apprehensive. I didn't think he was what they were trying to make him out to be, like Sage Northcutt. I don't know why they're hyping that guy, but I didn't know why the UFC were behind Conor McGregor so much. Like, what's so special about this guy? He's not really beating anybody. He has a lot of knockouts. And I start watching him, I'm like, he's good, but I don't know. Then I start hearing him talk, and then you kind of got to put yourself in other people's shoes and other people's positions. And you see, he's like, oh, all these guys move the same. They're the same type of fighters, yada, yada, yada. I'm like, oh, maybe he's on to something. And I admire him for his confidence and how he goes about things. But after this fight, I think he should kind of humble himself a little bit and be more endeared by the fans. He won the belt. He doesn't really have to talk crap anymore. He's the man. He's the face of the UFC, so he could just, you know, chill out now.
Now, do you think he will? Being that it is kind of his, like, M.O. to be a big trash talker and kind of, like, Chael Sonnen did a lot of trash talking, but Chael Sonnen never was able to come through with it. But he's talking about going up to the next weight class. Do you really think he's going to be able to clean those guys out?
No way,
they're
Jose.
They're going to be a tad bigger.
No way, Jose. Because you got some guys up there that's cutting down from 185, 188, a la Donald Cerrone, Dos Anjos. You got Edson Barbosa, El Cucuy. Those guys are big and strong. And size plays a big difference. McGregor is a huge... Go ahead.
No, I think the person I would like to see him fight, though, is... Anthony Pettis, they're both.
Oh.
Anthony Pettis, the Taekwondo, big into kicks. I think that would be an interesting matchup.
Very,
I think Pettis would
very.
Walk away with it, but I think it would be a fun one to see.
It would. The only. All right. Conor McGregor. All right. This guy, Conor McGregor, is really good, but his go to, his number one go to, is the left hand straight. It's powerful, it's dynamite. Everything else is like, you know, he puts everything together well, but the left hand is the money shot. If the power translates up to the guys at 155, he could clean them out. But I don't see him getting past guys like Cerrone and Dos Anjos. I don't see it happening, or Barboza. Barboza is a hell of an athlete, and Cerrone is a huge 155er.
I would have to agree with you. I don't see him really doing well in the 155-pound weight class. All right. We all know that he got the 13-second KO, fastest in UFC title fight history. Now we're going to switch to Chris Weidman and Luke Rockhold. Weidman, Long Island kid, right out of Baldwin, New York, was the champion, was 13-0 up until this fight. Thoughts on that fight? To be honest, I did not expect it to go that way by any means. I really thought Weidman was going to walk away with the win real easily.
Mm-hmm. I thought Weidman would eventually, like, pull through. But I knew, like, Rockhold was he has heavy legs, and he's powerful in the kicking department. He's really powerful. Like, he finished Costa Filippo in the first round. And ever since that fight, I knew, like, he was going to be eventually a title contender or eventually a champion. But Weidman, I always felt like Weidman had that extra, you know, that extra...
extra gear inside him?
It to always pull through and win.
Yeah, like, I really Weidman, did too. He didn't look right the other night. I really don't think so. I don't know what it was. I don't know if it was a bad cut, though. They said it was an easy cut for him. But I expected him to use his wrestling, being he was a Division I college wrestler out of Hofstra, took third in the NCAA's championships. I really thought he was just going to hold him down and kind of beat him up. Instead, tables turned on him.
This is my take on it. And initially, he was getting the better of Rockhold in the wrestling. I figured that Weidman would get his hands on him, clinch him, and, you know, like a chain wrestle him and take him, drag him down and submit him, or, you know, ground and pound him. But eventually he was doing that. Initially he was doing well. But you see, as the fight goes on, you see Rockhold, he's comfortable because I guess he was training with guys like Cormier and Velasquez. So he's used to being wrestled all the time and used to being in those positions. So he actually had that second gear, and he had that confidence to keep on going.
Yeah, Rockhold Rockhold was the Strikeforce champion at one point,
mm-hmm.
and he did beat Jacare, who lost in the third fight of the night to Yoel Romero, who, that guy's a beast. He just gasses too quick. I don't know if it's his age or the amount of muscle that guy has.
Too much muscle.
Yeah, unfortunately, in MMA, it gasses you a lot quicker than someone who doesn't have as much muscle.
Yeah, he's so conservative, but everything is so explosive. It's like, you're like, this guy's not doing any, and then you wake up, and then you're looking at the light.
Oh, yeah, he's powerful, and he's a hell of a wrestler, that's for sure. So,
yeah.
He's a lethal combination. I don't think he'll ever really, well, he's probably going to get the title shot eventually within the next two fights.
Yeah, I believe so.
But I don't know. I don't know if he has what it takes to get there.
He's not steady enough. He's not steady enough. You know, just keep on going and keep on pushing. It's a 5-round fight.
Yep.
I definitely
agree. Yeah, you definitely got to be able to move all 5 rounds, continue going. He gasses after the second round, which is
You have to win the round. You have to win the round.
Yep. So, all right. Well, we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back. Cody, you want to just hang on the line, and we'll be right back. All right, ladies and gentlemen?
I'll hang on.
I really hate having to resort to knocking elderly people in the head for their money. But I'll do it. I'll do it. You know I'll do it. I'll do it. I'll do it. You know I'll do it. I like getting high.
SMS Audio. I roll the shit, I smoke the shit. Nigga, I'm high as a motherfucker.
I roll the shit, I smoke the shit.
Ain't that nigga about to come tell me nothing.
I roll the shit, I smoke the shit.
I make your bitch come smoke with me.
I roll the shit,
I roll the shit.
That's why your bitch won't roll with me.
Mr. Coop ain't got no top. Besides, I'm checking my AC. If I shut, let's roll, bitch won't roll. Nigga, you must be crazy.
I roll the shit, I smoke the shit.
I smoke shit.
Hey, Slim and Shady, look what you done did. Meet us outside, nigga, get a pocket full of bread. Got that Bentley mousse on, they match that boat. Beige leather seats on it, they match that dope. Push smoke, same color, they match that coat. I'm chin chilling, mo spilling, Don popping, party rocking, my beat knocking. Your bitch watching my fits, clocking my shit. Blew a grin a piece on all of my kicks. Get your ass whipped, step on my shit. Nigga, you blink, I'm all in your bitch. Put it in the club, teach you the turn trick. Jack will be nimble, Jack will come quick. This pimp shit, break the paper off, bitch. That shit fake, all them all don't get. Them ain't diamonds, what is this shit? I'm confused, which belt I'm gon' pick. I'ma match that, there with my hat. They said I fell off, I snapped right back. Nigga, my money keep fitting, no safe. Got a mil for a little bump on your face. Time to count mine, I'm walking up in the boat. Gotta have a pound if you niggas won't smoke.
I roll the shit, I smoke the shit. Nigga, I'm high as a motherfucker.
I roll the shit, I smoke the shit.
Ain't that nigga about to come.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, you're back with Kyle Carroll on the MMA Sports Talk Radio Show. This is the first episode ever we're having. We're putting it together, trying to test it out and check out the waters and see where we could go from there. We got a guest on, Cody Payne from American Top Team Whitestone in Queens, New York. We're talking about a few different things. We're talking about Chris Weidman and Conor McGregor and Luke Rockhold. But if you want to call in, the number is 213-943-3517. Feel free to join the conversation. Ask Cody any questions you may have. Follow us on Facebook at Carol's Corner MMA or MyMMAnews.com. I'm also a reporter for MyMMA News. I write articles covering Long Island, the area, and so forth. So if you have any questions, please feel free to contact us in any of those variety of ways. We're here with Cody. Cody, we got some events coming up, ACC, Aggressive Combat Championships, on February 27th, 2016. And then on January 16th, we have New York Fight Exchange coming up as well. Can you tell us about the difference in the promotions and whatnot? I've only been to Aggressive Combat Championships.
Oh, okay. The difference between the two promotions? I've been to only been one of each, but they're both pretty good. The production quality for both events are pretty good. They're both good. They have good sanctioning bodies behind them. They put on good matchups, and they have good fighters. Both of them are pretty decent promotions. Really, really good promotions. ACC is on the come up.
Awesome.
They're doing pretty well. They picked up the production quality a lot.
All right.
One of my teammates, Dwayne Thompson, fights for them a lot.
He just
fought recently.
All right. Yeah. What weight class does Dwayne Thompson fight at?
He fights at 145.
Okay, all right.
Tall
guy,
though. He's about 5'11". 5'11". Really, really good BJJ.
All right.
A little good guy to train with.
And now, is he one of your main training partners?
Definitely. One of my main training partners, and he keeps me honest because he's been around. He's been training a long time. I think he has probably like 8 years of experience or something like
okay.
that. He's been around. So he has a lot of experience. So he keeps me honest when it comes to the ground game and everything.
Awesome.
He keeps me
all
on
right.
my toes.
Now, I've been to your gym. It's a sweet little location. You walk up the steps, and it's got a pretty good amount of space. You got the cage
mm-hmm.
set up in there. But I felt when I walked in, like, everyone is so welcoming. Everyone super humble. Can you kind of tell us about your coaches? Who's your coaches? And what the difference is about your gym from what you see from other gyms?
Difference is we could be called American Top Family. That's how close we are. Because we more than a team. We really are a family. It's like we spend so much time together. You know, we spend so much time together. It's like the chemistry is there. We all know each other for plus amount of years. So everyone is so warm and so welcoming, and it's a good environment. My coaches, I have Coach Jay, my striking coach, awesome coach. You know, my teammate Nathaniel King, he just won his pro debut, my first round knockout. Shout out to Nathaniel. I'm really proud of him. He's the guy that kind of brought me up. You know, brought me up into the game when I first started out. So this
awesome.
Pro is pretty awesome.
Yeah, that was his professional debut, right? And that was in Manhattan?
Yeah, it was at Friday Night Fights.
Awesome, all right.
Debut.
Congrats to him, that's awesome.
So we got Coach Jay, our striking coach. Awesome, awesome coach. Like, not just the traditional Muay Thai style, but he does it all, you know? Taekwondo, Muay Thai, boxing, you know, he puts it all together well. He gives us that good game plan and that foundation of striking. As you know, the pedigree over here is pretty high, and it's thanks to him. I got my grappling coach, Natalie Korski, a guy that I know Natalie about 4 or 5 years. Really, really good, really good grappler. He's been grappling for about almost 10 years, so he works with me a lot. Ryan Peterson, my MMA coach. Ryan Peterson. He has a bunch of MMA fights. He's a pro fighter.
Awesome.
Not active right now, but he's a pro fighter, Ryan Peterson. And I got my strength and conditioning coach, Eddie Cardone. He's helped me get stronger, you know, work with my condition and everything and my explosiveness. Who else am I missing out? We got John Ricardo, another Muay Thai coach. I got my boxing coach, Anthony Terranova, and made sure my hands are up. So we got it all over here. We have like it's like an army.
Yeah, you guys definitely have something special going on over there. Because every time I'm turning around lately, I feel like there's another fighter coming out of the gym fighting, and they're winning. You guys are winning. You're not just getting in there and throwing gloves around, but you're actually putting things together and coming out with knockouts. Three-round victories. I know Paige DiBartolo fought Brianne Rosullo at ACC 12, which was a pretty hyped-up fight.
Mm-hmm.
And then she fought again in Deer Park and won again, I believe, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was a really good fight against a tough girl, really good fight, and she won that decisively. So Paige is definitely on the come-up as well. As far as the fight team, we got Paige Lynn, Sam Honing. He's undefeated at Knife, actually. Sam is 2-0.
Okay.
Probably might be fighting for a title sometime soon. We got Dwayne Thompson, Sam Honan, Dwayne Thompson, Nathaniel King. We got a heavyweight, Steven Sanabria. He's coming up, really good heavy hitter. We got some guys coming out. So
you guys got a variety too inside the gym. It's not just a group of little guys or a group of big guys. You got a little of everything.
We got everything.
That's awesome.
We got a BJJ program, winning medals and tournaments. So we got everything, you know, everything.
All right. Yeah, because you're American Top Team Whitestone is definitely an emerging gym within the New York area. Yeah, unfortunately, New York, for those of you who don't know, it's still illegal to fight pro MMA in the state of New York. So people have to leave the state to go fight pro. Now, out of curiosity, I know you're only 1-1. You only fought two MMA fights. Any time frame that you want to go pro? Is there any time you want to get in there and start going pro, get things rolling?
Honestly, I always think about it in my head and flirt with the ideas and everything about when I should and yada, yada, yada. But the fact of the matter is, why am I even thinking about pro? I always like to worry about the fight in front of me. It's cliche. It's so cliche, but you always got to worry about what's in front of you and let everything fall into place. You just train hard for the fight in front of you. But I want to see, I'm going against what I just said, so I'm not going to say anything. I'm just going to worry about the fight in front of me.
Well, honestly, you're 24, right, Cody?
Yeah, I'm 24.
So, unfortunately, in the fight game, there is a limit to how long you can really fight for.
You trying to say I'm old, Kyle?
Nah, I'm much older than you. I can't really say that. But as a fighter, you want to get as many amateur fights under your belt.
Yes.
Not as quickly as possible, but quality ones, and then turn pro. And then when you turn pro, you kind of want to not space them out, but give yourself a quality camp before your fight. Now I know Dana White's big thing is getting you said that guy Sage from that just started up. He's only, 21, 22?
He's 19.
19, and they already have him fighting pro in there. Now, do you think that's an advantage to him that he got in there early or, started going pro?
Do I think it's an advantage? I don't think for him, I don't think it's an advantage at all.
No? How come?
He has holes in his game that I've seen, And he's been cherry-picking it. He's been cherry-picking his opponents. The thing is, they're throwing him to the wolves so quick. By the time he's 22, he'll probably be out of there. He's not Rory McDonald. Rory McDonald was a well-rounded fighter that trained with GSP. He's a karate-based guy that trained by his daddy that is he's fought in Houston probably on shows that he was favorable on against probably drunks and people that just stumbled into the arena. So you never know. These guys always get I'm not even lying. These guys get favorable matchups. You know, he has that look. He has that look, so.
Well, Dana White was just at Atlantic City recently, and I know there's a couple of fighters that he spoke to that actually fought on the same card as you from Madison Square Garden when you fought there for the Victory Combat Sports. I know a couple of people mentioned that he spoke to them and they're keeping an eye on them. Now, what do you think you have to, do you have to leave the state to get more fights? Because I know you've been struggling to get stuff. You want more fights. What do you got to do to get more fights?
I got to do probably just shut my mouth and not talking so much on social media. But that's not going to help me promote fights at all. I just got to, I probably have to go out of state. It's a weird climate, the amateur MMA scene in New York. It's a weird climate. The Muay Thai guys, these guys never turn down fights in Muay Thai. They really don't. The competition in Muay Thai and amateur Muay Thai is so difficult that has prepared me for amateur MMA. I'm over-prepared for these guys in amateur MMA. Too much poise. These guys out here, they're winging punches, they're anxious, they're nervous, but you don't see that in amateur Muay Thai once a guy has 8 fights.
Okay.
You just don't see it. Those guys are polished.
Now, does that change your fighting style when you get an anxious fighter coming out just swinging away, throwing bombs?
Does that change my fighting style?
Yeah, does that kind of affect you at all? I know some people kind of get thrown off by certain things like that.
Not now. Well, not maybe a year ago it did, but not now. I'm used to that.
Okay.
I remember a guy fighting wild and anxious. All I see is openings, and you look for it, and you can see it. I'm at that level where if I see that opening, you just make that mistake, I'm going to capitalize immediately. Just like that head kick off the break.
Yep.
I knew eventually he would make a mistake and mess up. I knew he would mess up. That's all I was saying to mine. I was like, okay, I'm going to just land these low kicks, stuff the takedowns, and when he slips up, when his technique betrays him, I'm going to capitalize. And I
well,
did
your opponent did not want to stand with you after a few kicks. You laid some lumber down like a lumberjack on his leg.
Yeah.
Chopping at his
My
mate.
Dad is Paul Bunyan.
He went in for shots right away, and I don't think he expected
yeah.
you to sprawl so well.
That's why the MMA, in the MMA circuit, the defense gloves, guys are worried about you taking them down. The striking defense is tons of duller than Muay Thai. So you can land those type of shots. You can land low kicks, hard low kicks. Guys aren't really used to checking like that. I'm not going to say everybody isn't used to checking, but there's a big portion of guys that don't check in MMA. And the gloves are small. You could get around with head kicks.
Okay.
So that's
excellent.
That.
What is, like, I ask a lot of people this question, especially that fight in New York. What does New York have to do? Do you think there's any changes required to make it legal? Like, I think it's kind of ironic. You're not allowed to fight for money in the state of New York, but you could fight for free in the state of New York. Like, does that make any sense to you?
These guys have been protesting and everything. Make MMA legal in New York. It all boils down to money. I heard what the reason was all that time. I don't even want to get into it, but it's all about money. So some people aren't getting paid for X, Y, and Z, and they don't want person A to get involved in New York and make money because they're not getting paid on whatever. It's bigger than us, and something drastic is gonna have to get done.
Yeah, I definitely agree. Because at this point, I don't think it's for safety reasons. The USMTA.
It never was.
USMTA is definitely the best sanctioned body in all of New York State. They cover things very well. They're very to the T. They dot their I's, cross the T's. They're very specific and have restrictions on things. That I know.
Yeah.
Tom Kilkenny does a great job with that.
Yeah.
But, like, what else? It clearly, it has to be the money. I agree with you. There's no other reason
other
than the money.
And that's why I don't even get involved into it. I don't even get involved. Honestly, I really could care less. I really could care less if they leave. I don't care. I like to travel anyway. I don't care anymore.
Everybody wants to see a fight at Madison Square Garden. You've been lucky enough to be a part of the first mixed martial arts event that happened at Madison Square Garden.
Exactly.
Talk about that a little bit. That's history right there, especially for the Garden.
Yeah, that was a pretty awesome fight. I actually fought, shout out to Adam Amro. That was a really tough fight for me. I fought a guy that had fought two of my teammates prior, and he had just beat my cousin. And I actually trained with him and sparred with him before. So it was a weird fight where I kind of knew what he had and he kind of knew what I had. So we had to come out with something. We had to, like, you know?
Yep. So you knew each other.
Change up. Yeah, we kind of knew each other well. So
all
that
right.
fight was pretty awesome, yeah.
Yeah, no, it was a
Garden,
very entertaining fight.
All right. I knew it was Madison Square Garden. So the first round I decided to get every single flashy move out the way. Because I wanted to make a big impression. And that's the only time where I kind of didn't fight as smart as I normally would. I was doing, like, spinning stuff, spinning elbows, jump kicks and everything, because I wanted to impress everybody so much that I just, you know, I was throwing everything but the kitchen sink.
But I got a
cool
sweet
fight.
Photo of you catching the guy across the face with a kick.
Oh, man, that's my boy, too. That's my boy. He's a really cool guy. Damn.
All right,
poor
now,
boy.
Fights this
That'll
weekend coming up.
He's a good guy. Huh?
Fights coming up this weekend in UFC, title fight for your weight class, 155. Who do you have? Donald Cerrone, the contender, or Dos Anjos, the champion?
That's a tough one. Okay. Dos Anjos beat him. I feel like Dos Anjos, he just reached another level. But Donald is such an X factor. You never know which Donald you're going to get. If Dos Anjos can back Donald up and keep his back on the cage the same way he did to Pettis and make him unsure and make him second-guess himself about throwing strikes, Dos Anjos is going to win. But if Donald stands his ground and he's using his length and landing those low kicks and those head kicks, Donald is going to take it. It's all about who backs who up, and if Donald stands his ground. Fighting is like a dance. One person takes the lead and the other follows. So it's about who's leading the dance that day.
All right. I'm looking forward to it. To be honest, I'm not really sure who's going to win, but I'd like to see Donald Cerrone take the victory. But I have a feeling Dos Anjos is going to pull it out somehow. I feel like he's going to drag him to the ground.
He's a tough customer for real.
I'm a big fan of Anthony Pettis. I lived in Milwaukee for about 7 years, so I got to know a bunch of the guys from the Rufus Sport. So I definitely would like to see him eventually get the belt back, but he's got to win a couple, I think, to get back there.
Yeah.
Anything else you want to tell us before we end the show? We got about 2 minutes left. Anything you want to throw out there? Any shout-outs to anyone or anything?
Oh, shout-out to everyone that's supporting me. You know, I honestly can't do it without you guys. You guys giving me the motivation and the strength and the courage to chase my dreams and to lay it all out there in the cage.
Awesome.
Everybody
all
that
right.
supports me, you know? Everybody that supports me.
Definitely, yeah. You definitely need a strong
support. Other fighters out there, you know, all my friends. Shout out to everybody.
Now, you want to throw out your social media out there, just so anyone who wants to follow you can.
Yeah, they be following me. They don't never like any pictures. They hate me in this. In this fight game, my mouth is too big. They hate me. They just that guy talks too much. Yada yada yada. Whatever. But yeah, you can follow me on Instagram at KoCody. KayoCodie. Yeah, follow me. Don't like anything, guys. I know you don't like me, whatever. I'm just trying to promote myself, you know? But these guys don't understand that. They don't understand it.
I know what you mean. I feel like I put up photos and then I get one or two likes on something I think is awesome or hilarious. So.
It kills me. These guys are, I just want to fight, man. I'm not going to sell any tickets. I'm going to just, I'm going to fight. No, you're going to get one fight. Nobody will put you on the show again. Money talks, BS walks.
Yeah, isn't that the truth? All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're with Cody Payne of American Top Team White Stone. Cody, thank you for coming on. It was a pleasure.
Thank you. Thank you.
I think
for
it was an awesome first show. We'll be back next week on Monday night at 6:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for anyone who's outside the time zone. Remember, follow us on social media at MyMMA News or at Carol's Corner, 2 R's, 2 L's. You find us on Facebook at Carol's Corner MMA. Find everything there you need. We'll be back next week. We'll have another guest. Look forward to having hopefully a couple of callers call in some questions. And we are out. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you. And Cody, once again, thank you for coming on.
Thank you for having me, Kyle.
All right,
I love
pleasure,
you guys.
Man.
Thank you for supporting me. Thank you for having me on the show.
Take care, dude. All
right, thank you. Have a good one.
You too. And we are out, ladies and gentlemen.